I invite you to stand if you are able for the reading of God's holy word. Today it is Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. All who call on the Lord's name will be saved. So how can they call on someone they don't have faith in? And how can they have faith in someone they haven't heard of? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the good news. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, evangelism. It's one of the five functions of a healthy congregation. We've talked about four of them. Worship, fellowship, discipleship, outreach and mission, and now evangelism. For many, evangelism is the Christian equivalent to a four-letter word. Oh, we know. We know it's not supposed to be that way. Because we know that Jesus' last command as he was ascending into heaven was, go into all the world preaching the gospel. Evangelism. But even when those words are ringing in our ears, it's hard not to think of those times that we've been approached by someone who's handing out a religious tract, and the conversation may start out okay, and suddenly we find them criticizing our faith and questioning our salvation. And well, let's face it, it's hard to respond to negativity. We don't like it. And just think of those people who are already standing outside the church. When they're approached in such a negative way, they recoil. They back off. It's one more reason they give for not joining us. Now, I know that those who practice that type of evangelism tend to be very sincere in their efforts, and I appreciate the fact that there are those who feel comfortable just walking up to people talking about their faith, but let's face it, as mainline denominations, we're just not there. As a matter of fact, in place of sharing about our faith, we tend to remain strangely quiet about it. I mean, even when we know people who are struggling with difficult decisions or they're facing a life-threatening situation, we tend not to share about how our faith has helped us through similar incidences. And as far as inviting non-believers to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, forget it. We don't even invite friends and family to come and worship with us. Okay, that's not entirely true. Statistically speaking, Christians will invite people to come worship with them exactly once every 5 years. Evangelism. If inviting people to church is intimidating, then telling them about Christ becomes almost impossible. Yet congregations that do not reach out to non-believers, they're not only ignoring the Great Commission, They're also making it virtually impossible for the Holy Spirit to move among them. And if the Holy Spirit isn't moving, then where are we going? A church that is not witnessing, a church that is not receiving new believers, is dying. And you know what's so sad about it all? Witnessing to our faith should be a joyful thing. I mean, those who know us, and even those who are simply standing apart from us and watching us, they should see almost immediately that there's something different about us, something intriguing. You know, what we need to understand is evangelism, teaching others about Christ, begins not with our words, but with our actions. When people see the difference in us, when they experience it as they interact with us, or when they begin to really get to know us, if we're different in a good way, then they begin to want what we have. And they become willing. Sometimes they're even eager to hear what it is that makes us so different. And even more importantly, once we tell them, they'll actually believe us because they have seen the difference. They've experienced it with us. And when we begin to serve in that way, then what the Apostle Paul meant in today's scripture becomes alive. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet. You notice, he doesn't say anything about words. He's talking about your feet. Interesting, isn't it? You see, the good news, it spread in so many different ways. And it comes from so many different places. Do you remember the parable of the sower? A farmer or a sower went out to scatter seeds. And as he was scattering seed, some fell on the path. Birds came and ate it. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where the soil was shallow. They sprouted immediately, but because the soil wasn't deep, they withered. When the sun came up, it scorched the plants and they dried up because they had no roots. Other seed fell among the thorny plants. And the thorny plants grew and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and bore fruit. In one case, a yield of 100 to 1. In another case, a yield of 6 to 1. In another case, a yield of 30 to 1. Everyone who has ears should pay attention. Now, most of the time when we read that particular parable, we go straight to the soil. We try to figure out which soil we are. Where's our faith? Are we the shallow people who wither as soon as something happens? Or are we being choked out by the thorns? And by the way, and where does our church stand? But traditionally, this parable is called the parable of the sower, not the parable of the dirt. Now, several years ago, Barbara Brown Taylor, who's an Episcopal priest and a well-known author, she published this book. It's called The Seeds of Heaven. And she retells this parable. And she retells it from the sower's perspective. Listen up. Once upon a time, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. The birds came along and devoured them. So he put his seed patch down and spent the next hour or so stringing aluminum foil all around his field. He put up a fake owl he ordered from a garden catalog, and as an afterthought, he hung a couple of traps for the Japanese beetles. Then he returned to his sowing. But he noticed that some of the seeds were falling on rocky ground. So he put his seed patch down again and went to fetch his wheelbarrow and his shovel. A couple of hours later, he had dug up the rocks and was trying to think of something useful he could do with them when he remembered his sowing and he got back to it. But as soon as he did, he ran right into a briar patch that was sure to strangle his little seedlings. So he put his pouch down, looked everywhere for the weed poison, but finally decided just to pull the thorns up by hand, which meant that he had to go back inside and look everywhere for his gloves. Now, by the time he had the briars cleared, it was getting dark. So the sower picked up his pouch and his tools and decided to call it a day. That night, he fell asleep in his chair reading a seed catalog. And when he woke the next morning, he walked out into his field and found a big crow sitting on the fake owl. He found rocks he had not found the day before, and he found new little leaves on the roots of the briars that he had broken off by hand. The sower considered all of this, pushing his cap back on his head. And then he did a strange thing. He began to laugh. Just a chuckle at first, and then a full guffaw, then turned into a wheeze, and at the end, he ran out of breath. Still laughing and wheezing, he went after his seed pouch, and he began flinging seeds everywhere, into the roots of trees, under the roof of his house, across his fence, into his neighbor's field. He shook seeds at the cows and offered a handful to the dog. He even tossed a fistful into the creek, thinking that they might root downstream somewhere. And the more he sowed, the more he seemed to have. None of it made any sense to him. But for once, that did not seem to matter. He had to admit that he had never been happier in his life. Let those who have ears hear. Friends, that is evangelism. Like the sower, Christ has given each one of us something that we can share with others. We don't have to worry about in finding the right time, the right place, the right words. We don't have to develop a 10-step program, and we don't even have to go to the nearest seminar. All we have to do is throw out whatever it is Christ has given us and allow God to worry about the harvest. You know, maybe you're one of those people who you're extremely patient. And you can sit and listen to that person who never has anything positive to say about anyone or anything. It might not be to your liking, but you can sit there and listen and you can respond in a semi-nice way. But as for using words, well, it's not your thing. You're not good at it. But that's okay. Because if you use your gift, then the person who you're listening to will finally learn to trust you. And once that person trusts you, you can say, by the way, I'd like you to meet someone. And you can introduce them to the person who God has given the gift of speech to. A person who can relate to them in a way that helps them know the God that we all love, the love, the grace, the power, the forgiveness. You see, evangelism. True evangelism isn't a one-and-done event. It's not walking up to someone and saying, so, do you know Jesus Christ and have you been saved? Well, that can be an important question. If you just walk away and do nothing else As Paul says, who's going to teach them? Where are they going to learn? Evangelism, it takes an entire community. Because God has given each one of us a different gift. And if we all use our gifts together, then the Holy Spirit will be able to move us in ways that we never dreamed of. Evangelism. It is a long process, but one that is filled with joy. It is one that we can invite others into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as St. Augustine, or perhaps St. Francis, no one can really agree, once said, and I have quoted before, preach the gospel always. Use words when necessary. Evangelism. It doesn't get more exciting than that. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, amen. And as we continue to worship, let us be in a moment of silent prayer as we prepare to take our tithes and offerings. Please stand and sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and O gracious and holy God, you have called us, you have gifted us, you have told us to go out, but not like everybody else. You have told us to use our gifts. You have told us to stand close to you. So take these gifts, O Lord. Take them and use them just as you have used us. And working together with each other and with you, may the blessings flow from your hand to ours, to the hands of others. In Christ's name, amen.